This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Morning Edition today begins a series on Latin American cities with a story from Mexico City. It was New Spain's first large mainland city and the model for regional justice. In the giant metropolis of today, justice is hard to come by. From court workers to street cops, authorities often respond more favorably to payoffs than to jurisprudence. Mexico City's roughly 20 million citizens largely have learned to live with the corruption. They pay bribes to keep their cars from being towed or their loved ones out of jail, rather than take a chance on a system many consider broken. NPR's Jerry Hatton reports.
At dawn in the colonial center of Mexico City, an old, wrinkled Nahuatl Indian in red robes beats a drum and blows forlornly on a plastic flute. His diminutive wife holds out a hat to the thousands of commuters rushing past on the cobblestones, men and women in business suits, students absorbed by their Walkmans, ragged-looking construction workers. Nearby, a pair of policemen in blue uniforms watch the scene, looking bored and barrel-chested in their thick, bulletproof vests. 63-year-old street vendor Maximino Diaz shuffles past, making his daily rounds on the capital's vast central square called the Zócalo. The open plaza, surrounded by an imposing colonial cathedral and government buildings, is lined with stones dragged from the ruins of the Aztec Indians' great temple, which once stood nearby. Each day here, merchants set up one of Latin America's largest and oldest outdoor markets, selling everything from knickers to nopal cactus. Diaz, a dark-skinned man of mixed Spanish and Indian blood, embodies the old world and the new. Today, he's selling toy plastic cars propelled by balloons. From beneath his thick, matted salt-and-pepper hair, he eyes the nearby cops warily.
The cops mistreat us. They don't let us sell our goods. The law around here is absurd, twisted. It's all about money. You're hawking your goods and the cops say, hey, give me a little something. If you don't pay them, they take your merchandise away.
On occasion, he says, they've tossed him in jail. Had Diaz lived 500 years ago, that would have meant a stint in the dark brown building looming just behind him, a blocky colonial structure that served as Mexico's first prison. Inside, 16th century thieves, bootleggers, and murderers languished under military guard. Mexican historian Martin Gabriel Barron says colonial punishment was usually swift and severe.
There were a lot of public executions here in the colonial period. They used to perforate the base of the skull, or hang people, or burn them alive. The stones of this plaza are stained with blood of so many who died here.
In 1519, Spanish invader Hernán Cortés first looked down upon this former Aztec capital from the steep mountains that surround it. Cortés defeated the Aztec Empire in a final brutal battle here, and the conquerors quickly designed a justice system to protect Spain's newly acquired booty. The rights of the defeated Indians and other poor settlers became secondary. Barron says that though Mexico long ago became an independent democracy, the justice system has barely evolved.
There's never been anyone who watches over the police. In Mexico, we don't have any sort of public accountability like you have in the U.S.
Without oversight, authorities throughout Latin America continue to mete out justice arbitrarily. The case of 35-year-old Mexico City carpenter Jorge Guarneros illustrates the point. Guarneros lives in a rundown Mexico City neighborhood known as La Nesa, a place into which Mexico's green Volkswagen Beetle taxis rarely venture, where store owners do business from behind locked iron grates. Guarneros, a burly mustache mestizo, says one day last summer a thief robbed his sister's tiny convenience store here. In a blind rage, he tracked down the hoodlum to a nearby street corner. I was really mad and I shot the guy in the leg. It was just a flesh wound because I didn't want to kill him. We left and soon the police arrived at my sister's store. Police hauled Guarneros to one of Mexico's notoriously overcrowded jails. The Mexican government says nearly half of those in prison have never been sentenced. Guarneros was luckier than most. He was brought before a judge for a preliminary hearing. Even more fortunate, Guarneros had recently painted the magistrate's house. The judge knew me, he says. He told me, I'll help you, but, well, around here, you've got to offer a little something to quench the thirst. Guarneros paid the judge a bribe of $1,500 to get his freedom and his illegal gun back. In all, Mexicans shell out about $1 billion a year in payoffs to authorities. They call it the mordida, or bite, and it's as deeply a part of urban Mexican life as street-corner tacos. Police say without the mordida, they couldn't survive because they're paid so little. Many have to buy their own bullets. Lacking money and training, police too often rely on torture to get confessions, say human rights groups like Amnesty International. Mexico City is working on reforms. Police salaries have been raised. Officials have also brought in former mayors from New York City and Palermo to get their advice. Mexico City Police Chief Marcel Ebrard looks to successes in Santiago, Chile, and Bogota, Colombia, where anti-corruption campaigns have won back public confidence. He says that's not only possible here, but necessary.
70% of the people says that they don't present any denounce of crime because they don't trust the legal system. So the question is it possible to have a democratic system without the public confidence in the law system? I think it's not.
It isn't just democracy at stake, it's the economy. Capital flight from the region is now measured in billions of dollars, according to one recent crime study. On the streets here, a small experiment is underway to try to counter that trend. In the center of Mexico City, police on horseback patrol a small green park as hundreds of passing tourists flip through guidebooks and snap pictures. These are the new charros, or cowboy cops, complete with wide-brimmed sombreros and spurs. They look more like mariachi singers than police, and when they galloped into position last year, they became the laughingstock of the city. Officer Oscar Celaya remembers. At first there were a lot of jokes about our outfits, he says. People said, who on earth came up with this idea? But now we're accepted because it's clear that crime has gone down here. It's peaceful now. Families can go for walks. The mounted police work under the gaze of newly mounted surveillance cameras. The city has strung up the electronic eyes across downtown. The first crime, caught on tape last year, led the evening news. A motorist paying about $2 to a traffic cop to avoid a ticket. Both were arrested. The tiny center might be becoming safer, but Mexico City sprawls across this highland valley for miles, a seemingly endless cement grid of crowded houses, towering apartment buildings, and street markets. And most residents, like Jose Hernandez, say their distrust of police won't change. On the southern fringe of the capital, in Xochimilco, Hernandez navigates his long wooden tourist launch along a narrow, polluted canal lined with trees sickened by city smog. This maze of waterways is all that remains of the once bustling trade routes that led to the former Aztec capital. Xochimilco has its fair share of crime, but Hernandez says the boatmen never call the police. Shamefully, he says, you just get pulled into the mess as well. Sometimes they'll fabricate evidence against you if you don't cooperate. So we on the canals prefer to keep our mouths shut. If we need to deal with a delinquent, he says, we deal with him directly. Jerry Haddon, NPR News.
Tomorrow, Caudillos, strongman leaders who have hindered democratic development in Guatemala. Other reports on Latin America are at npr.org.